10. She told them it had been like the part in Tom Sawyer when Tom and Becky get lost in the cave, only Tom and Becky eventually got out. The Jameson twins, just 11 years old, never did, nor did those who tried to rescue them. The Marysville Hole took them all. "That's where your brother-in-law got work after the dog business failed?" Ralph asked. She nodded.
"He'd done some exploring there. Not in the public part, but on the Ahiga side. So when he applied, they hired him on as a guide quick as winking. Him and the other guides used to take tourists down in groups of a dozen or so. It's the biggest cave in all of Texas, but the most popular part, what folks really wanted to see, was the main chamber. It was quite a place, all right, like a cathedral. They called it the Chamber of Sound because of the, what do you call them, acoustics. One of the guides would stand at the bottom, 400 or 500 feet down, and whisper the Pledge of Allegiance, and the people at the top would hear every word. Echoes seemed to go on forever. Also, the walls were covered with Indian drawings. I forget the word for them.
Pictographs, Yoon said.
That's it. You got a Coleman gas lamp when you went in so you could look at them or up at the stalactites hanging down from the ceiling. There was an iron spiral staircase that went all the way to the bottom, 400 steps or more, around and around and around. It's still there, I shouldn't wonder, although I wouldn't trust it these days. It's damp down there, and iron rusts. Only time I took them stairs, it made me dizzy as hell, and I wasn't even looking up at the stalactites like most of them. You won't believe I took that elevator back to the top. Going down is one thing, but only a pure D fool climbs up 400 steps if she don't have to. The bottom was 200, maybe 300 yards across. There were colored lights set up to show off all the mineral streaks in the rocks. There was a snack bar, and there were 6 or 8 passageways to explore. They had names. Can't recall all of them, but there was the Navajo Art Gallery, where there were more pictographs, and the Devil's Slide and Snake's Belly, where you had to bend over and even crawl in places. Can you imagine?
Yes, Holly said. Oof.
Those were the main ones. There were even more leading off from them, but they were closed off because the hole isn't just one cave, but dozens of them going down and down, some never explored.
Easy to get lost, Alex said.
You bet. Now here's what happened. There were 2 or 3 openings leading away from the Snake's Belly passageway that weren't boarded over or barred up, because they were considered too small to bother with.
Only they weren't too small for the twins, Ralph guessed.
That's the nail, sir, and you hit it on the head. Carl and Calvin Jameson. Couple of pint-sizers looking for trouble, and they sure found it. They were with the party that went into Snake's Belly, right behind their ma and pa at the end of the line, but not with them when they came out. The parents, well, I don't have to tell you how they took on, do I? My brother-in-law wasn't the one leading the group the Jameson family was a part of, but he was in the search party that went after them. Headed it up would be my guess, although I have no way of knowing.
His sons were also part of it? Howie asked. Claude's cousins?
Yes, sir. The boys worked part-time at the hole themselves and came on the run as soon as they heard. Lots of folks came because the news spread like wildfire. At first, it looked like it wasn't going to be no problem. They could hear the boys calling from all the openings leading off from the Snake's Belly, and they knew exactly which one they went into, because when one of the guides shone his flashlight, they could see a little plastic Chief Ahiga Mr. Jameson bought one of the boys in the gift shop. Must have fallen out of his pocket while he was crawling. As I say, they could hear him yelling. but couldn't none of the grown-ups fit in that hole. Couldn't even reach the toy. They hollered for the boys to come to the sound of their voices, and if there wasn't room to turn around, to just back up. They shone their lights in and waved them around, and at first it sounded like the kids were getting closer. But then their voices started to fade, and faded some more, until finally they were gone. You ask me, they were never close to begin with.
Tricky acoustics, Yoon said.
Si, senor. So then Roger said they should go around to the Ahiga side, which he knew pretty well from his exploring, what they call spelunking. Once they got there, they heard those boys again, clear as day, crying and yelling. So they got rope and lights from the equipment building and went in to fetch them out. Seemed like the right thing, but it was the end of them instead.
What happened? Yoon asked. Do you know? Does anybody?
Well, like I told you, that place is a goddamn maze. They left one man behind to pay out rope and tie on more in case they needed it. That was Ev Brinkley. He left town shortly after. Went to Austin. Broken-hearted, he was. But at least alive and able to walk in the sunlight. Those others,
Lovey sighed.
No more sunlight for them.
Ralph thought about that, the horror of it, and saw what he felt on the faces of the others.
Ev was down to his last 100 feet of free rope when he heard something he said sounded like a cherry bomb a kid set off in a toilet bowl with the lid shut. What must have happened? Is some goddamn fool fired a pistol hoping to lead the boys to the rescue party, and there was a cave-in. It wasn't Roger done that. I'd bet $1,000 it wasn't. Old Roger was a fool about many things, especially those dogs, but never fool enough to fire a gun in a cave where the ricochet could go anywhere.
Or where the sound could bring down a piece of ceiling, Alex said. Must have been like firing a shotgun to start an avalanche up in the high country.
So they were crushed, Ralph said. Lovey sighed and resettled her cannula, which had come askew.
Nope. Might have been better if they were. At least it would have been quick. But people in the big cavern, the Chamber of Sound, could hear 'em calling for help, just like those lost lads. By then, there were 60 or 70 men and women out there, eager to do whatever they could. My George had to be there. His brother and his nephews were among those trapped after all, and finally I gave up on keeping him home. I went with him to make sure he didn't try to do some damn fool thing like trying to pitch in. That would have killed him for sure.
And when this accident happened, Ralph said, Claude was in the reformatory?
Gatesville Training School is what I believe they called it, but yes, a reformatory is what it was.
Holly had produced a yellow legal pad from her carry bag and was bent over it, taking notes.
By the time I got to the hole with George, it was dark. The parking lot's a good size, but it was damn near full. They'd set up big lights on posts, and with all the trucks and people scurrying around, it was like they were making a Hollywood movie. They went in through the Higa entrance carrying 10-cell flashlights, wearing hard hats and puffy coats like flak jackets. They followed the rope to the cave-in. A long way, some of it through standing water. The rockfall was pretty bad. Took 'em all that night and half the next morning to clear it enough to get past. By then, people in the big cave couldn't hear the lost ones calling no more.
Your brother-in-law's bunch wasn't waiting for rescue on the other side, I take it, Yoon said.
No, they were gone. Roger or one of the others might have thought he knew a way back to the big cave, or they might have been afraid more of the ceiling was going to cave in. No way to tell, but they left a trail, at least to start with. Marks on the walls, and litter on the floor, coins and screws of paper. One man even left his bowling card from the Tippett Lanes. One more punch, and he'd have got himself a free string. That was in the paper. Like Hansel and Gretel, leaving breadcrumbs behind, Alec mused.
Then everything just stopped, Lovey said. Right in the middle of a gallery. The marks, the dropped coins, the balls of paper, just stopped.
Like the footprints in Bill Samuel's story, Ralph thought.
The second rescue party kept going for a while, calling and waving their flashlights, but no one called back. The fellow who wrote it up for the Austin paper interviewed a bunch of those guys from the second rescue party later on, and they all said the same thing. There were just too many paths to choose from, all of them going down, some leading to dead ends and some to chimneys as dark as wells. They weren't supposed to holler for fear of starting another cave-in, but then one of them yelled anyway, and sure enough, a piece of the roof come down. That's when they decided they better get the hell out.
Surely they didn't abandon the search after one try, Howie said.
No, of course not.
She fished another Coke out of the cooler, cracked it, and swallowed half at a go.
Not used to talking so much, and I'm parched.
She checked her oxygen bottle.
Almost out of this stuff, too. But there's another one in the bathroom there with the rest of my goddamn medical supplies if someone wants to fetch it.
Alec Pelly took charge of this task, and Ralph was relieved when the woman didn't attempt to light up as he swapped them out. Once the oxygen was flowing again, she resumed her story.
There was a dozen search parties went in there over the years, right up until the ground shaker in 07. After that, it was considered too dangerous. It was only as 3 or 4 on the Richter, but caves are fragile, you know. The Chamber of Sound stood up to it pretty well, although a bunch of the stalactites fell off the ceiling. Some of the other passages, though, collapsed. I know the one they called the Art Gallery did. Since the shaker, Marysville Hole has been closed. The main entrance is stopped up, and I believe Ahiga is, too.
For a moment, no one spoke. Ralph didn't know about the others, but he was thinking of what it must have been like to die a slow death deep underground in the dark. He didn't want to think about it and couldn't help it. Lovey said,
"You know what Roger said to me once? Couldn't have been 6 months before he died. He said the Marysville Hole might go all the way down to hell. And that makes it a place where this outsider of yours would feel right at home, don't you think?"
"Not a word about this when Claude comes back," Holly said.
"Oh, he knows," Lovey said. "Those were his people. He didn't care for his cousins much. They were older and used to bully rag him something awful. But they were still his people."
Holly smiled, but not the radiant one. It didn't touch her eyes. "I'm sure he does. But he doesn't know. We know. And that's the way it has to stay."